Thank you for listening to the Bible Expositors Podcast with your host, Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
And we're going to conclude chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians today. This morning, we will be going down to verse 15. Last Sunday, we got down through verse 8. And this Sunday, we'll be going through verse 15 this Sunday morning, and then we'll be concluding with verses 16 through 23 this evening. And both are some kind of very interesting and very pungent topics that Paul is talking about here and that he's writing to the church about under inspiration of the Holy Ghost. So we look forward to studying this morning. And the title of the message this morning is God's Building Project. God's Building Project, 1 Corinthians 3, 9 through 15. How many of you have ever done a building project before? Yeah, the one that I'm thinking of, years ago I went to Mexico as part of a mission trip, and we did some construction projects and used block and stucco and some other stuff, and that was interesting. God has a building project that he's working on, and his building project is the church. It's us. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your house this morning. I do pray now that you would forgive me for my sins. Fill me with your Holy Spirit as I preach, and these that are saved as they hear. I pray if anyone here is not saved, that you would convict them and save them this morning. We do pray for those that aren't able to be here this morning for whatever reason. We pray that you would bless them. We pray that you would bring them back safely to this place. Heal the sick and those who are just out of church. I pray you draw them back to your house. For we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. God's building project. So verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 3 says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building." Now we ended last week in verse 9, and we talked about ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's cultivated field. That's the idea of the word husbandry. It's farming. And we used, and Paul has been using for several verses, the illustration of believers in the church like plants, like God is growing something. And so now he switches illustrations and he uses the illustration of a building. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. And so what we see here is a construction illustration. And I have two different kinds of shirts. One has a 16 collar, and they're too tight, and that's what I've got on this morning. And then I've got some 16 and a halves. At any rate, Miss Althea said, "Why didn't you wear that shirt that blends with your suit and tie that she gave me?" And I said, "Because I can't find it." It's somewhere at my house. I'm terrible about losing stuff. A construction illustration, ye are God's building. So in these verses, the church is pictured as a building. The church is pictured as a building. Verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 3. "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon." So Paul says, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. Paul planted the church at Corinth, and Apollos and others had built on Paul's work. And I love how Paul says, as a wise master builder. He's giving an illustration, and of course, Paul was a master church planter. That's what he did. There's nobody that's been better at that than the Apostle Paul. And he would go into a city and win people to Christ and disciple them and establish a church. And so he says, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. And of course, Apollos, and they looked to other leaders as well in the church at Corinth, and that's how the church had been built upon. But Paul gives us a warning here. He says, "But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon." Warren Wiersbe, in his Be Wise commentary, said this: "God is concerned that we build with quality. The church does not belong to the preacher or the congregation." Now, those mistakes happen quite frequently. There are people that join a church and think it's like a club, and once they join it and they give their money to it and everything, that it belongs to them. But actually, Christ died for the church, and the church belongs to Christ. The church doesn't belong to the congregation, nor does it belong to the preacher. There are some preachers that think a church is like their personal business that they've started. And it is not. The church belongs to Jesus Christ. It is His. The church does not belong to the preacher or the congregation. It is God's church. Ye are God's building, 1 Corinthians 3:9. If we are going to build the local church the way God wants it built, we must meet certain conditions. And that's Warren Wiersbe. Quote, and he's absolutely right. God is concerned that we build with quality. So the first thing you need when you're building a quality building is a good foundation. And so we see the foundation that Paul laid. That's the first thing, the foundation that Paul laid. Verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Amen. Now, there's no other foundation for a church other than salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. That's it. You've got to have saved people to start a church. Harmony Baptist Church was started in the 1800s. The exact date has slipped my mind right now. I ought to know this, but it was started in the 1800s, and it was started out of an evangelistic meeting, and you had saved people that started Harmony Baptist Church. And that's the way a church must start. Our confession of faith says, "We believe that a church of Christ is a congregation of baptized believers associated by covenant in the faith and fellowship of the gospel." That's Harmony's statement of faith. And that's what we believe. We believe that a true church must be a fellowship of believers, people who have been born again, who meet together for the worship of God and the propagation of the gospel. There are many people who sit in churches, hopefully not in this church, but it would be wrong of me to ignore the fact that there are many people who sit in churches who have had religious experiences but have never been born again. Make sure your faith is in Jesus Christ. Make sure that you trust Christ as your Savior. A lot of people want to go back. In fact, when I was doubting my salvation, the first thing the preacher did was take me back to when I got saved, and he wanted me to explain to him about when I got saved. And I'll also do that with people, but I think more important than the day you got saved is, are you trusting Christ as your Savior today? Because the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him," present tense, "should not perish, but have everlasting life." So, I wouldn't be to the devil can toy with an experience you had 20 years ago. But the thing is, do you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today? Do you believe He died on the cross for you? Do you believe He rose from the dead? Are you born again? Are you believing in Jesus Christ? That's the question. And I hope you are. And if you're not, you can get that fixed right quick. Just believe in Him. Put your faith in Him today and He'll change your life. So the foundation that Paul laid was Jesus Christ. Make sure that foundation's been laid in your own life, and let's have that as the foundation for the church. By the way, as we said this morning, the key to church growth First of all, we do not build the church. Jesus Christ said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So it is not us that builds the church. It is Jesus Christ that builds his church. And as we've said here many times, the Bible does not say, I will build your church. The Bible does not say, you will build my church. But it says, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So Jesus Christ builds his church, and we believe that. But we also believe that if a church is going to grow, that we've got to win people to Jesus Christ. If the majority of people in Whitfield County and Murray County too don't go to church of any kind, and only, I think, about 35% of people within the two counties actually go to church on a regular basis, then we've got a lot of people that are out of church. And we've got a lot of people, not all those people are lost, but we've got a lot of people that aren't saved and that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the foundation that Paul laid for the church was the gospel of Jesus Christ. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And then Paul looks at the possible building materials. Once you lay a foundation, you've got to build something on top of it, and he looks at the possible building materials. Now, there's no question here at Corinth of the foundation. You know, Jesus told a parable about a wise man and a foolish man, and one that built his house upon sand and one that built it on a rock. And that's not in question here at Corinth. The church was built on Jesus Christ. It's built on Jesus Christ. But what is in question is the building materials that are being used to build on top of the foundation of Jesus Christ. And this ought to concern us all. Verse 12. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. So he gives us two different types of building materials. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Oh, by the way, when God builds a building, what do you think he builds with? Yeah, gold, silver, and precious stones. We know that because we know literally a building that God is building, a city. In Revelation 21, the New Jerusalem, it's a city made of gold and pearls and precious stones. That's the heavenly city of Jerusalem that will come down to earth one day. And so we know what God builds with. But here in 1 Corinthians, it's talking about spiritual things. And so if any man builds upon this foundation, the foundation is Jesus Christ. If any man builds upon it gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. So you've got spiritual things that are precious metals and precious jewels, and then you've got things that are basically worthless. And that's the question of how the church is being built. By the way, if you're wondering what the gold, silver, and precious stones could be, the Bible certainly would give us a clue. In Psalm 12:6, the Bible says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. There's no better building material for the church than the Word of God. And that's what Paul built the church upon. He built it on the Word of God. And so a person can build a church. The foundation is laid, that's Christ Jesus. There can be no other foundation. But a person can build a church up on flimsy things, wood, hay, stubble, or he can build the church upon the eternal Word of God and the sound doctrines of the Word of God. And that's what we intend to build on here, the Bible. Now notice the Bible also says, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. There are some flimsy things that people try and build churches with. And Spurgeon has an interesting quote here, and this is what he says. He says, it's very easy to build up a church quickly. Very easy to make a great excitement in religion and become very famous as a soul winner. Very easy. But time tries everything. If there were no other fire than the mere fire of time, it would suffice to test a man's work. And when a church crumbles away almost as soon as it got together, and when a church declines from the doctrines which it professed to hold, when the teaching of the eminent teacher is proved, after all, to have been fallacious and to have been erroneous in practical results, then what he has built comes to nothing. Oh, dear friends, what little we do, we ought to aspire to do for eternity. If you shall never lay the brush to the canvas but once, make an indelible stroke with it. If only one work of sort shall come from the statuary's workshop, let it be something that will live all down the ages. And so, Spurgeon simply saying in his day, this would have been in the late 1800s, there were people that would come up with gimmicks and things, same way we have today. And they would quickly start a church based on some eminent teacher, and they would get it to grow very quickly, and he said, but it would fizzle out. But he said, what you want to look for is a church built on the Word of God. And the Word of God may be a slower work, but it will be a stronger work and a sure work. And that's what we intend to build with here. And those are the right building materials, the changeless Word of God. So we see the foundation that was laid and the possible building materials. And then we see the building inspector. Of course, every building, once it's built, if it's a public building, has to have an inspector. Even houses have to be inspected. And some of them should be condemned. But the building inspector will come by. For some reason, I shouldn't say this, but for some reason, this is one of these things my wife would talk to me about, but for some reason, every time I think of the building inspector, I think of a SpongeBob SquarePants episode from when I was younger, where the health inspector came to inspect the Krusty Krab, and they ended up choking him, and they thought they'd killed him, and it was hilarious. But at any rate, every building must have a building inspector. And this is what the Bible says in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 3. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. The phrase, the day shall declare it, brings to mind thoughts of eating, at least to me, it brings to mind thoughts of eating in a dark restaurant. And it may be very dirty, but you don't know it until a light shines. And so, the day shall declare it. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now this fire, people have tried to figure out what this fire is, because this is a kind of a frightening passage that we must stand before God and give an answer for how the church was built. This especially is for preachers, teachers of the word. What is the fire? But of course, the Bible tells us, Hebrews 12, 28 through 29, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. One day we're going to stand before God, who is a consuming fire, and He's going to look at the works that we have done in the church and what the church was built with. And He will judge us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Now, that is not talking about good and bad as far as evil and good, but it's talking about the quality of the work, whether it's good quality or bad quality. Several years ago, I had some missionaries that were friends of mine that decided to put a porch railing on my front porch. And for whatever reason, the wood wasn't sealed correctly, and now it's all bowed and warped and all of that. And I've tried to call them, and they won't come back and fix it. I don't know how to... I call them in South Africa and call them in Ireland and say, get back over here and fix this thing. And they won't fix it. I don't know why. But anyway, it was free too. But nonetheless, there's shoddy work. And there's good quality and bad quality. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat is the Bema seat. This is not the same thing as the great white throne of judgment that is talked about in the book of Revelation. That's where the unsaved dead will be judged. That's at the end of the kingdom time. If you've been in our Wednesday night Bible studies, we've talked about the tribulation and the kingdom. That's at the end of the kingdom. But this judgment seat is for Christians, for believers. And we're going to have to stand before it. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:14, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. So our God, who is a consuming fire, is going to look at the building materials used to build up the church. And if a man's work abides the fire of God's judgment, then we're going to receive a reward. But if our works are burned up, then we'll suffer loss. By the way, what endures the fire? What endures? 1 Peter 1:23 through 25 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, for all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower thereof falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The thing that will abide is the word of God. The thing that stands in the end is God's eternal word. And there's many a man that has built the church on philosophies and ideas, and that's indeed what Paul was talking about in Corinth, because the Greek culture was a culture of following the wisdom of men and philosophies of men, and there were people trying to bring worldly philosophies into the church at Corinth in order to make the church grow and prosper, and that would be burned up. That's not the right building material. They were splitting up into different groups in the church, with one following this teacher and another following this teacher, and that wasn't the right building material, the wisdom of the world. The right building material is the eternal word of God and the gospel which is preached by it. Verse 15 says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. So there are men's works that are just going to burn up, puff of smoke at the judgment seat. It's an amazing thing that there will be churches that seem to be so prosperous that weren't built on the Word of God, that just, it's gone. John Gill commenting on this, this is a rather long quote, but he comments on this, and he makes an interesting point. He just doesn't just interpret this as pertaining to just the judgment seat, but he interprets it as something that could happen now, and he's got an interesting quote on it. If any man's work shall be burnt, if any minister's doctrine he has preached shall be destroyed and disappear, shall be disapproved of and rejected by the churches, not being able to bear the light and heat of the fire of God's word. He shall suffer loss of all his labor and pains that he has been at in collecting together such trifling, useless, and inconsistent things, and of all that glory and popular applause he might expect from men on account of them, and which was the snare that drew him into such a way of preaching. In other words, he's saying men that started preaching things to appeal to men's ears, to tickle the ears, to get people to come and crowds to come to listen to them. And they started preaching these things that appealed to men instead of preaching the Word of God. He says that those things will not stand the test of the fire of God's Word. But then he says, but he himself shall be saved with an everlasting salvation, not by his ministerial labors, much less by his wood, hay, and stubble, which will all be burned up, but through his being, notwithstanding all the imperfections of his ministry, upon the foundation of Christ. Because if you're on the foundation of Christ, even if the rest of the Christian life is built with wood, hay, and stubble, the foundation of Christ will not be moved. It is a solid foundation. And a church that's founded upon Christ, though wood, hay, and stubble be built on top of it, the salvation of the people stands sure because it's built on a solid foundation. And that's basically what Paul says here in verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. He himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Of course, our God is a consuming fire. You can stand at the judgment seat of Christ and lose the rewards you would have had. You can lose your rewards and yet still enter God's kingdom. Zechariah, this is speaking of Israel, but this is a good verse to go along with this. Zechariah 3:2, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem, rebuke thee, is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?" So Jerusalem went through many things. They committed a lot of sin too, but yet God, when Satan would have destroyed completely the Jews, God says, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? And God saved Jerusalem. And even so, if your faith's in Jesus Christ, if you've been born again, God will save you, though the wood, hay, and stubble may be burned up. Again, 1 Peter 4:17 through 18 says, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" It's always interested me, this verse, "if the righteous scarcely be saved." Because our salvation's complete in Jesus Christ. But the thought, perhaps, is like a ship that is sinking in the ocean. And you've got people, when the Titanic sunk, people were perishing very quickly in the water because it was so cold in the North Atlantic. But there were some people that were saved out of the water. There were some that grabbed hold of an overturned boat and were able to stay on that until they got to safety. But you think, if you got people dying all around you in the icy water and they're all perishing, you've got the same icy water surrounding you. You're soaked, hypothermia is setting in, and then you get pulled out quickly. You're completely saved, but you're covered in the icy water. You're still affected by the same thing. And you were scarcely saved. You're completely saved, but scarcely, because all these other people in the same condition perished. And the fact is that if judgment must begin at the house of God, and God has to do a work of judgment with Christians first, if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God, those that don't get saved? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, we're covered, coated in the world. We're drowning in the sin of the world all around us, and God has pulled us out just like a brand being plucked out of the fire. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? And so God says that there will be those who stand at the judgment seat of Christ and have built the church with wood, hay, and stubble. And all that is going to be burned up. And they'll be saved, but yet so is by fire. And so that makes me want to be doubly sure that I'm using good building materials. And I hope you too. In summary, number one, make sure you have the right foundation. Make sure you're saved. No salvation outside of Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter how many times you've been baptized, how many churches you've gone to, does not matter. It only matters, have you believed in Jesus Christ to the saving of your soul? Are you born again? That's all that matters. The foundation. Number two, build your life with the Word of God. Get in the Word every day. Get in the Word. Roger was talking about that this morning. Get in the Word. Let's build our lives on the Word of God. And number three, let's build the church with the Word of God, not with man's ideas. Now, there's plenty of good ideas that aren't bad, but we're talking about man's philosophies. We need to build the church on the Word of God. This is the good and solid building material. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these thy people. I thank you for the work you're doing in this house. I do pray that you would continue to bless us. We pray that you would grow Harmony Baptist Church and just help us to use the Word of God and the preaching, teaching, and evangelization using the Word of God to see souls saved and people discipled for your glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name.